Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
8:13 on this Wednesday morning. We always talk to Ronald Surpass at this time on Wednesday, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, consultant to many departments, and just an all-around cop, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I've had a wonderful career, as has my family.
And we love to pick your brain and talk about different things. First, before we get to mass shooting, we were talking to Dr. Sarintha Strickland just now about 70% of the children that don't have access to early childhood education are more likely to be involved with the criminal justice system. And I'm getting some texts from people that I don't know if they're against early childhood education. I don't quite exactly understand what the issue is, but you're a numbers guy. You crunch numbers. Tell me about that stat, if you will, and the importance of early childhood education.
Well, Tommy, I've been in this business for more than four decades, and I don't think there's anything new, and I'm glad the professor's talking about it. Early education, think of it this way. Where do we learn our social norms? Where do we learn our social mores? Where do we learn to respect one another? Where do we learn meritocracy? Where do we learn accountability? Early childhood education, I think, is just in the mind of people, common sense accepted that that's where we can help kids be the best they can be. Conversely, in many cities in the country where I've policed or consulted, you see 3- and 4-year-olds wandering around all day long with no parental involvement, no adult involvement. You see them on the streets, you see them in the parks, and you just look at them, and you don't need a PhD to tell you that kid's going to have a rough life.
So if you're not going to do it for the right reason, and again, you're a numbers guy, just in terms of investment and as it Absolutely. Relates to the business community, the cheapest thing you can do is to keep them out of the system, is it not?
Exactly. The most efficient and the most important and the most heartfelt thing to do is educate and take care of our children. And in far too many families where parents cannot or will not, then we as a social collective, I think, continue to believe we have a responsibility to reduce our downline cost, prisons, failing school rates, failing economies, failing education systems. It's in everyone's best interest that those prevail. Now, Tommy, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people are teenage parents. I was a teenage parent. My mother was a teenage parent. I think I understand how tough it is, and I don't dismiss that it sometimes is harder than people can overcome. But I also know it can be overcome. And sometimes you just need a hand up so that your child doesn't fall into that same cycle of being a dependent of the government, of being a dependent of the criminal justice system, if you will. So I think what your prior guest said is, from my point of view as a cop for four decades, crucial.
Just wanted to get your take on that. Let's talk about this mass shooting outside the Republic. At least seven Jesus. Mass shootings with 10 or more victims in New Orleans over the past decade. I think the one that comes to my mind was the one outside Jazz Daiquiri's Lounge on South Claiborne. I don't know if they ever made an arrest in that or not. Is there any way to prevent this kind of thing? Or, I know Ann Kirkpatrick, the superintendent, is going to talk about carving out an exception with the concealed carry thing, a permitless carry. We'll talk about that in a minute. But stuff like this, is this a one-off where it just happens and really there's nothing you can do?
No, there's not. And I would invite you to bring
I'm wrong or what?
Oh, no. I mean, there's just so much moving parts. It seems to be intractable for us to figure out why young people, generally in their early 20s, are using ultimate acts of violence indiscriminately in a crowd of people. Tommy, as a young cop, one person with 138 special would kill one enemy. Mm-hmm. Today, for the last 10, 12 years, we see that these young people will use a gun indiscriminately in a crowd, looking to hope to hit the person they want and not care if they hit anybody else. Secondly, they are often clouded in the misguided notion that somehow they're victims of an oppressive criminal justice system, therefore they can't trust the system, therefore they have to kill their enemies to protect themselves, but yet are forgiven, if you will, because they kill innocent people in that process, like this poor young woman from the West Bank. When I was the chief in Nashville, we fought hard with the Tennessee legislature to keep guns out of bars, carry permit, right? We were on record from 2005 to 2010 as chief saying guns and alcohol don't mix. I've long been in favor of that position. It's not a Democrat talking point. It's not a Republican talking point. It's not a Second Amendment talking point. It is a simple truth that when people drink, they don't think clearly. When they're exposed to violent weapons, when they don't think clearly because they drink it, terrible things can happen. Suspect that obviously at this nightclub the other night, there's going to be some of that in the background. So I have been saying from the very beginning and will continue to say that if the legislature wants to carve out the French Quarter, you have to figure out what part of the French Quarter you're talking about, because the very lower part of the quarter into the Marigny is far more residential than the upper part of the quarter, which is almost all entirely bars and restaurants. Secondly, we probably do need to consider some parts of the DDD that have expanded since 2010 with a lot of residential business, alcoholic outlets, et cetera. Those are common sense things, Tommy, and I think they transcend DR and Second Amendment. It's just common sense.
You know, when you say common sense and to think that we're even having this discussion, I am a gun owner. I'm a gun guy. Mm-hmm. But I would never, after having a couple of drinks, take a gun out to clean it. I would not want to have anything to do with the gun. Just if I was sitting alone to clean the gun if I had a couple of drinks, because I know better than that. So if that's the case, why in the world would you factor it into a situation and allow it in a situation where there are emotions involved and clouded judgment in addition to the gun, right?
Well, Tommy, I try to stay in my lane. I've never been an elected politician. Mm-hmm. But I am fairly certain that when we see the political pendulum swing too far in either direction, we normally have unintended consequences. One of the unintended consequences of the base debate about gun ownership gets convoluted when you start thinking, well, should people with demonstrated mental health illness have them? No. When people who have demonstrated horrific domestic violence patterns and practices in their life? No. When people are going to be hanging out on Bourbon Street where there's nothing but barrooms every 10 feet? No, but to have a gun in your home, in your possession, in your opportunity under the Second Amendment, what happens is politics tends to confuse and conflate those two as if they're the same thing. And what I heard you just say is what I think most people believe is that, no, we can separate the two. We can chew gum and walk at the same time. Guns around bars, guns around mental illness, guns around people with domestic violence tendencies. Just ain't a good idea.
And alcohol in general, you know, or any mind-altering substance.
Alcohol or drugs, right? Substance use abuse disorder. But, you know, you can look at the sexual offender registry issues. You can look at many things that the legislatures have snapped like a thunderbolt to make a change, which is part of our social contract that we demand change. But sometimes we need to take a deep breath and say, is it an unintended consequence that people are going to think that the ability to carry a gun transcends into, I'm going to go into a bar and drink all night. And I just don't think a lot of people think that makes sense.
Along those lines, let me drill down. We come back on weaponry, because when you said a 38 revolver, or I don't know if you said revolver or not, mm-hmm. but a 38 special,
yes.
How that's changed the whole equation when it comes to gun violence. 821, again, I'm a gun guy. Everybody relax with the text. I don't think the chief's trying to take away your guns or anything else. We're just talking about some common sense thing. And I would ask you that same question if you're a gun owner. Would you clean the gun if you'd had a couple of drinks? Do you think that's the time to take your gun out and clean it? And the answer is no. 821, traffic now, WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
826, now back with Ronald Surpass, Professor of Practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, talking about the mass shooting outside of the Republic, killed a young lady from Harvey. Chief, I don't know if they know what kind of weapon was used or not, but generally speaking, and you have friends, I would presume, that you network with throughout the country that are in law enforcement and management of law enforcement. How much of a game changer or equation changer is the weaponry that's involved? And what got me to thinking about that, when you talked about somebody with a 38 special, this was not one guy with a 38 special or a revolver causing this problem, right?
Well, exactly. It's not one person with one gun charge in the causing the problem, nor one person with one target causing the problem, which was far more likely in the 80s. What it is today, our weapons have been built to be more efficient, more effective, deliver more downrange bullets. Just as cars have been built to be safer, seat belts, automatic braking systems, et cetera. So as technology has evolved, it was not surprising that the firearms industry would produce a more effective and efficient weapon. The issue continues to be who picks it up, who puts it in their hand, and who decides to spray a random crowd of people with a weapon that could deliver 10, 15, 30 bullets in within 90 seconds. And I think, Tommy, I'm like you. I've been a gun supporter my entire life. I've been a police officer my entire life. But I'm over 60 now, and I don't know that we can say everybody has to have one or that we can say nobody gets one. In the middle is where reality is, and that's what I think I hope we can focus on to reduce these kinds of incidents.
You know, as you say that, I was just thinking during a commercial break, the easiest thing in the world for me to do would be to pander to the absolutist Second Amendment. Everybody gets a gun. Don't you infringe from my cold, dead hand, et cetera. But I had a conversation with somebody from the NRA several years ago, and they'll never come on again, not with me, because she refused to admit that a gun owner was responsible for whatever round they let go. And at that point, the NRA and I parted company, because I firmly believe that you are responsible for every round that you let fly loose from that gun. And I don't think that goes against any law enforcement principle, does it?
Well, I can't imagine how it does, because these are not military weapons that are set to shoot on programming, right? And the weapons that people in our cities and our countries use, a physical mechanism has to be pulled, the trigger, by your finger, which means you had to make a decision to do it. Host of reasons why that decision could be made, or the gun falls and drops. And because the industry has gotten better, you have far fewer accidental discharges with guns dropping and falling, particularly among the automatic class weapons. So at the end of the day, Tommy, if you want to see what America really looks like, volunteer in a labor and delivery unit for 6 months and see what happens at the beginning of life. Volunteer with emergency medical services that see what happens when young people lose their way. Don't think about it from a police point of view, because there's so much consternation about police in America. Go see what happens when babies are born, and go see what happens when emergency units goes to people's houses. It'll be a wake-up call.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate your time and your thoughts. As always, Ronald Surpass, Professor of Practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief. When we come back, we're going to talk to Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member. She represents the Warehouse District, where that shooting at the Republic, outside of the Republic, happened and took that young lady's life from the West Bank, and she's gone. And a family was on TV last night. I can only imagine the pain they're going through. Actually, I probably can't. 8:30, time for WWL First News.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.